Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, I thank and praise God for allowing me to come back into your listening pleasure. We pray now that the Lord's word will richly bless your lives and transform your lives and conform you into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let us approach the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you, Father, for many blessings seen and unseen. You have touched our lives in such a great degree, Father. We can never thank you enough. You have rescued us from eternal damnation and brought us unto yourself. You brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You brought us by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that which you have done. Now, Lord, we pray that you may use us unto your glory to spread your wonderful gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, be with us now as we open the word of God to study your word, Father, that we might please and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We ask us all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. Well, I was saying that we were in a study of the eighth chapter, and last week we talked about the persecution of the church that came about right after and immediately after chapter 7 when Stephen was stoned to death for declaring Jesus as Lord and Savior. They said he was blaspheming God's word and God's temple, and therefore they put him to death. But there was a young man who was collecting the coats. His name was Saul. Saul of Tarsus was there consenting. He did not stone, but consented. And the word consented simply means that he was agreeing wholeheartedly that what was being done was right to do. And so when we picked this up about verse 6, we started talking about revival. What is true revival? What brings about revival? And I was reading some notes from a preacher's sermon outline Bible. Said there are two essential things needed for revival. People must be first one accord, that's of one mind, one spirit, and one purpose. People must give heed to keep their minds and their hearts upon the message. Now we start looking at some of the evidences of revival. So we're going to pick it up in verse 7 and then read on some verses. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Well, we find that when true revival breaks out, that lives are truly changed. We should not be the same after meeting Jesus Christ as we were before we met Jesus Christ. So our lives are changed. And then there ought to be a great joy as a second evidence of true revival. When we have true joy in our hearts because of who God is and what God has done for us, not so much that God can always just pour blessings out on us, but we ought to rejoice and be glad simply for the fact that we now know God for ourselves. That is good news, any way you slice it. Now we have this magician, if you will, Simon, who has now bewitched the city of Samaria through his sorcery and had the people believing that he was a great one. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Listen to that. This man is the great power of God. Now, one of the things we must realize and recognize also that when revival breaks out, there are deliverance from the depths of great sin, from false prophets, religion, and sorcery. I know it just kind of really hurts and irks me when I hear believers talking about what is your sign? What do we have to do with the zodiac? That is out of darkness. We should not even mention those kinds of things. We should not be enslaved and entrapped to those things of the world. We have been set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The people had been enslaved by a false religion. It says all gave heed. All followed his leadership and his teaching. And it says everyone confessed that he was the power of God from the least to the greatest. Let's read on. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. The fourth evidence of true revival is believing the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ and being baptized. Philip preached two major subjects. He preached the kingdom of God, and he preached in the name of Jesus. And I think we would do well if we would just preach those two things, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus as Lord. And we also know that God said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We also understand that Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses to the uttermost part. Now we need to understand that we are about to be, not about to be, we are called to be kingdom builders. And therefore we need to preach the kingdom of God and preach the name of Jesus Christ. Evidence number five is false professions. Now we find that this man, Simon, believed it, as it says in verse 13, and was baptized. Now let's read a little further, picking up in verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know sometimes we get into those great controversies about the laying on of hands and so on and so forth. But let me tell you this. The Bible says that they first prayed. And prayer is always the primary element. I don't want anybody to think that you just have the power to lay on of hands and there's a transference of power. But the laying on of hands, whether you believe that it is a transference or not a transfer, I believe it's a confirmation. But they had prayed because these believers had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So we need to understand that there had to be a manifestation that takes place to verify, if you will, the fact that they truly had received the Holy Ghost. So evidence number six is the reception and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The apostles were leaders and supervisors of the church. Therefore, when they heard the revival was taking place in Samaria, they sent Peter and John to investigate. Why was an investigation necessary? Because of the bitter enmity and racial prejudice between the Samaritans and the Jews. So we understand now that someone who was foreign to the Jews, the Samaritans, who they did not want to have any dealings with, were now receiving a revival. So the head church in Jerusalem sent Peter and John down to investigate, see if this is real. Because the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon any of them. So the Samaritans had just believed and had been baptized in the name of Jesus, but the Holy Ghost had not fallen upon them yet. Okay? Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now, it says in previous verses that Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. But when he saw the power being manifested in the lives of those who had received the Holy Ghost, he had the audacity to try and offer money, which tells me that he had a false profession. He did not understand who he was professing to be head of his life. He did not understand the gift that was being given to him. So he had a false profession. And I don't know how many times we might run across people in our past that will give a false profession of faith. There has to be change. There has to be evidence. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon somebody, I'm not talking about the physical manifestation of shouting and things like that, but I am talking about when a person begins to be led by the Holy Spirit, the person's life changes. They don't want to do the things they used to do. They won't go back out to the clubs. They won't go back out and begin to use drugs and alcohol. They won't go back out and sleep around. They won't do varying things that they used to do and think nothing of, because now the power of God is indwelling in them. And because of that power of God indwelling in them, they will do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. There has to be evidence. And when we have true revival breakout, there will be evidence of the manifestation of God, because lives will be touched, hearts will be changed, and God gets the glory. And we need to praise God and ask Him to bring more of that upon us. We need revival in this day and age. We need revival in our churches. We need to revitalize our churches. We need to revitalize our own personal lives. We need to be back before the throne of grace on our face, asking God forgiveness for those things that we have allowed ourselves to become slothful with. We have not paid attention as much as we should to the building of His kingdom. We are looking to life to make life more comfortable. We're teaching people that God will make things better for you in this life. God may make things better for you in this life. God, it's not that God doesn't want to make things better for you in this life, but that's not His ultimate goal. You saw all through the writ, the Holy Writ, that many times God allows His people to be persecuted so He can bring about a greater a manifestation of Himself at a later date. He's preparing us for things. And that's why James was able to pen, count it all joy when you go through various diverse temptations. When you go through the trials of life, count it all joy. Not joy because of the trial is coming, but joy because you see the Word of God being moved into your life, and you can glorify God through what He is doing. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to hold it up right there, because the clock on the wall says it is time to begin to wind this program down. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Again, I don't come to you as an expert. I come to you as a fellow sojourner. And I would just invite you to join us on our website, www.smbcmesa.org. And if you can, stop by some Sunday worship with us, Sunday school at 9 a.m., worship service at 11. We're not about form and fashion. We just simply love the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Please tune in again next week as we continue on in our study of the Word of God together. Take care and God bless.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.